1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 8, it says this. Love never fails. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish ways behind me. Let's pray real quick. God, I just want to thank you for this morning, and just kind of as we wade into this a little bit, God, we pray that your presence would be here in this room, and that would just be an amazing thing, God, that your words would speak to us, would transform our lives, and that we would leave here changed, God, that we'd leave here different than how we came, God. And that we would leave here a little bit closer to you. And God, help us understand this. And praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I need to ask you an honest question. Did that sound like a crock to anybody else in here? That sound like it's a bunch of BS to anybody else? Love never fails? Honestly, because when I read this, sounds like a crock to me. How many of you guys in your life, honestly, right here, I mean, you don't have to raise your hand or anything, I'm just, think about this. How many of you guys in your life have seen love fail? Probably all of you. There's so many people in here that come from divorced homes. Seems like love failed. There's so many people in here whose, well, maybe not so many, but there are people in this room right now whose parents have left them. A dad who has just left, a mom who has just took off. Love failed. Have you been there? Have you seen love fail? Now, there's a lot of controversies in the Bible, you know, where the Bible contradicts itself and all this stuff, and, you know, you can always reason around it and all that stuff. And those don't really bother me a whole lot, but the things that bother me are things like this. Passages that say that love never fails when so obviously love fails all the time. Are you with me on that? Feel free to raise your hand anytime you'd like. Love never fails. Well, let's talk about a little bit what this passage means first, and then we'll see if you're with me, because I think maybe then you'll be with me a little more. And I know what you're thinking. You're probably not supposed to be convincing us that the Bible is a crock. But hey, we're going to talk open and honest today. Love never fails. And then it starts talking about these things called prophecies. Prophecies is this. Back before this book was written, back before the Bible was here so we could read it and come together, they had these things called prophets. And basically what prophets were they were God's spokespersons. So God would say something to this prophet, and this prophet would go to the people of God, Israel, and say, hey, this is what God has to say, you know, you probably should pay attention to it. And that's what prophecies are. They can also mean, hey, you know, people nowadays today who just speak, you know, penetrating truth. Sometimes pastors are probably they not necessarily predicting the future or anything like that, but just saying, hey, we're sinning in this, and just kind of pointing that out. That's what prophecies are. And then it starts talking about this thing called tongues. And tongues is this. There's two different kind of understandings of what tongues is. I'll tell you which one this one is. One understanding is I'm a white kid from California, and I don't speak anything but English, pretty much. But tongues is this. One way of having tongues is that all of a sudden in here, I just start busting out in
Norwegian.
Yeah. And me and Norman just start chatting right here in Norwegian. And I just start, you know.
No.
In Norwegian.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm not sure why I'm funny, but I like that I am. And we just start talking about God in Norwegian. And I just start encouraging him about God, and he just starts encouraging me, and I have no idea. I'm like shocked and dumbfounded why the heck I'm speaking Norwegian. And he's shocked and dumbfounded why the heck I'm speaking Norwegian. And that's one thing of tongues. Another thing of tongues is when you just speak what sounds like gibberish, and you just are going off, and pretty much nobody else understands you. And it's this language between you and God, and sometimes there's these things called interpreters that just kind of interpret. He's speaking this gibberish, but this is what he really means, and he's talking to God. And those are the two things about tongues. So it's talking about these prophecies, God speaking to somebody who then speaks to people, and then he's talking about these things called tongues, where it's either you speak another language of another person so you can proclaim the gospel to them, or you speak this gibberish language that only God can understand and maybe an interpreter, and it's just this praise to God. Perhaps. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of happening right now, right? You guys all, are you with me? Like, the wagon is red. Did you all understand that? Sweet.
But I would prefer to hear
it. All right, we'll work on that. And then it goes from these prophecies to these tongues, and then it goes into the knowledge, right? It says, where am I at? Oh, yeah, yeah. Where, in verse 8 still at the very end, where there is knowledge, it will pass away. And so it's talking about knowledge, and it's not like necessarily, I'm at school, and I'm learning biology kind of knowledge necessarily, but it's more like, you know, God has given me insight into what he's doing in this world. You get that? Like, God has shown me that, you know, in Byron's life, whatever is going on. It's kind of like in the story of David, right? When David goes to Bathsheba and they do a little something, something, you know, and then she gets pregnant and he tries to like cover it up and whatnot, and then Nathan comes in and he's like, dude, there's this guy who came to me, and he had this little tiny sheep, right? And they loved it, slept in the bed, for the bed with the family and all this stuff. And then there's this rich guy who was his neighbor, and he had all this like sheep and cattle. And he had this visitor come in, and he wanted to make him a meal. So what he did was he went ahead and grabbed the neighbor's one pet loved part of the family sheep, and he slit its throat and killed it and ate it. And David gets outraged. Oh, that guy should be put to death. And then Nathan goes, that's you, my friend. That's you. You have all this stuff, and yet you wanted the wife of Uriah, right? And David's convicted. That's kind of like knowledge. God let Nathan know what was going on, what God was doing in Nathan's life, and he pointed it out to him. And so, check out what happens to this stuff, right? It says, it starts off, love never fails. Love will not fail you. It's never going to fail. And then it starts saying, hey, where there's prophecies, you know, where God is speaking through people, that's going to stop. But love still be there. And where there's these tongues, these different languages, so that we can all encourage each other and just praise God in a language that only us and him can understand, that won't be needed anymore. That's going to be out the window. But love will still be there. And it's saying, where there's this knowledge, any kind of knowledge, I don't care what kind of knowledge, where there's learning and where there's this, you know, God showing me what's going on around me, that's all trash. It's all garbage. It's going away. It's fading away. But love will still be there. And I read that, and this is like incredibly strong language, right? It's like there's this one thing that's just going to kind of like last forever. This is like one thing that just kind of, it's stronger than everything else. It's more important than everything else. And it's love. And everything else is just going to kind of fade away, and it's going to pass, and it's not going to be kind of important. And all these things that we do as, you know, Christians or whatever, and we come to church and we do these things, and none of it's really going to matter anymore. And the only thing that's going to matter is love, and it will never fail. And so you get this like strong language that he's saying, love will not fail. all this other stuff, it's going to fail. It's going to end. It's going to fail. Love won't. Now, are you with me now? I mean, language like that. Language like that, it will not fail. Yeah, how many times in your life, how many times in the lives of someone you know, love has failed? I've been seeing it in a couple of mine and Allison's friends lately, a few different couples. And they're just, you know, married, and some of them have kids and some of them don't, but they're just kind of splitting and going their separate ways. And I think about how much that hurts, and I wonder why. And I think it's because love's not supposed to fail. But it does. Now, is it me, or is the Bible just a crock? Because only one of maybe two things can be happening here. The Bible is lying to you, and love really does fail. Or, if that's not true, and the Bible is telling you the truth, and my parents are divorced, I have no choice but to say, my parents never loved each other. Right? Then love's failed. Exactly. I don't know about you guys who come from divorced homes. So last piece of technology, I don't want to break it. Whoops. But I don't know if you guys, I don't know if I would be, my parents are not divorced, but I don't know if I'd be ready to say my parents never loved each other. I don't know if they'd be ready to say that. What's going on here? What's this all about? What's the story trying to say? Remember last week we talked about love. Anybody remember what the Greek word for this kind of love is? Agape. Which I think is agape, again, but people laugh. Agape. Right? And what is agape love? Somebody tell me, help me out. It's the way God loves us. What's that? Unconditional love. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you think, no matter how you act towards somebody else, there's still love, right? Unconditional love. So it's saying this agape unconditional love never fails.
I think it's for whatever reason, though.
What is? Okay, you can think that. That's okay. That's good. It's a good question. We'll get around to that. I want to tell you a story though. Story goes like this. Back in the day, there was this prophet. Remember, and a prophet's a guy who God speaks to, who speaks to everybody else to say, here's what God has to say, right? Back in the day, there's this prophet, his name is Hosea. And God kind of shows up to Hosea and he says, hey, you're going to be my prophet. And, sorry, I'm still a little bit sick. Because this prophet says, hey, you're going to be my prophet. And here's the deal. You know, you're going to speak my words to the people, but you're going to be kind of the special prophet. You're also going to kind of like, your life is going to be this metaphor for my relationship with Israel. And so Hosea is like, okay, so what should I do? And God says, there's this chick. Her name is Gomer. This is true. Her name was Gomer. I don't know why. Her parents hated her, I think. But he says, there's this girl named Gomer, and here's what I need you to do. I need you to go, well, maybe I should tell you all about her. her name's Gomer, and that's not really her biggest fault. Her biggest, she's sort of a prostitute. She's a hooker. And here's what I need you to do. I need you to go and buy her, and then make her your wife. And all those kids that she had, you know, with other guys, you know, because she's, you know, the whole prostitute thing. You need to make them your kids too. And I can't even imagine what Jose is thinking right now. But he does, and he goes and he buys Homer. Gomer. Okay, this is like, maybe this was on The Simpsons, I'm not sure. But he goes and he buys Gomer and makes her his wife, and he takes all of her illegitimate kids that she's had from prostituting herself and makes them his own kids. And then God says, you know, then they have a kid, right? And they name the first, it's a boy, they name the first boy Jezreel, because God basically says, I'm going to destroy Israel in the city of Jezreel. And then they have another kid, and it's a girl. And check out this name. God says, here's what you got to name her. You got to name her Not Loved. That's going to be her name. You can call her Not for short, but her full name is going to be Not Loved. Man, can you imagine the pain of a dad who has to name his daughter Not Loved because God said, name your kid Not Loved. Then they have another kid. It's a boy. God says, that's a good-looking boy. How about this? Give him the name Not My People. You're probably going to have to call him something different than Not because you already have a Not in the Not Loved. But so he's got these three kids with this prostitute wife of his named Gomer. And they're named Jezreel because God's going to destroy Israel and Jezreel. And they're named Not Loved because, well, you do the math. And then the last one's named Not My People because Israel's not God's people. He's saying, I'm giving up on you. Check out what happens. After having these three kids, plus these illegitimate kids, and Jose has kind of bought her and made her his wife, Gomer takes off again. And Jose doesn't exactly know where she went and whatever, but she decided to return to prostitution. So she went back to being a hooker on the corner of the streets. And a little bit later down the line, God comes to Jose and says, what's up, Hosea? Remember that wife of yours that was a prostitute? You remember how she kind of had three kids with you and then left and became a prostitute again? Here's what I need you to do. I need you to go back and buy her again and make her your wife again. And he does. And then God starts to go through how this is a picture of God's love for us, right? Think about it. Israel is off and they're worshiping all these other gods and they're not paying attention to God at all and they're doing kind of whatever they want to do. And God says, you guys are a prostitute. You guys sell yourselves, you guys sell your bodies, you guys sell your minds and your souls to do whatever you want to do, to worship these other gods because you got too much money and you just want to do what you want to do, or you're just too cool and you want to do your own thing. And then God says, but I want you, you know, to be my wife anyways. I want to be able to be in this relationship where I love you more than anything and you love me more than anything. And then what do? We go off and we do our own thing again. We leave God, this relationship, this God who has provided for us, even though, you know, we kind of been off ruining our own lives. And so we go do it again. And here's this picture of God after having welcomed us into his house, you know, and then having us leave to do our own thing. This picture of God going back, right? Going back to us and saying, hey, come home. Come home. I desperately want this relationship with you. I desperately want to be able to love you and for you to be able to love me and no other. So this is a kind of interesting picture, the story of Hosea and Gomer, and it's parallel with God and us, mostly because, check it out, Hosea is a prophet, right? Prophecies aren't going to matter in the long run. We just read that. And tongues aren't going to matter, and knowledge isn't going to matter. None of that stuff's going to matter anymore. And so we're left with this statement, love never fails. And how do we make sense of that with where we're at? How do we bring that together? Yeah. God is love and God never fails. That's so true. You guys remember, maybe not, but way back when Powers kind of kicked this little 1 Corinthians 13 thing off. And what he talked about was, I said it this way, you know, everybody, every one of us, you, me, all of us, your parents, the elders, everybody, the pastors here, we all have this desire just to be known and loved and cared for, right? Kind of more than anything. It's kind of why we group to these close group of friends and all this stuff. We all want love, right? But Powers kind of talked about, hey, you know what? Nobody can love you the way you want to be loved. It's not possible. The way you want to be loved, for who you are, nobody can love you like that. And what's more is the way your friends want to be loved, the way your boyfriend or girlfriend want to be loved, the way your parents want to be loved, you can't love them the way they want to be loved. No matter how hard you try, you can't do it. But God, right? There's this, but God, you know, can love us that way. It does love us that way. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. And so even though we're these prostitutes over here, kind of looking after our own needs, kind of doing what we want to do, kind of saying, God, we don't need you right now. We kind of have our own thing going on. God came and said, you know what? I'm going to prove that you're the most important thing to me. I'm going to sacrifice my son. And he's going to die, and I'm going to let it happen. It's this love that no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've thought, no matter who you are, God says, yeah, I know. I know where you've been. Yeah, I know. I know what you've said. I know what you've done. I know what you've thought. But I still want you to come into my home. And out of that is where we get agape love. And it's only through that love that we can love people the way that they want to be loved. Right? It's only because God was willing to stick his neck out and say, hey, I want you to come into my home. I know you're probably going to leave me again, but I'm going to come chasing after you because I love you. It's only out of that kind of love that we can love other people like that. That I can say to you, Yeah, you've been some rough places. Yeah, you've done some things that you probably shouldn't have done. Yeah, you've said some things that you probably shouldn't have said. Yeah, you've probably said some things to me that you probably shouldn't have said that hurt me. Yeah, you kind of left the church and did your own thing. And that hurt God and that hurt me. Yeah, you kind of put yourself first. I know you've done those things, but I can still love you. I still care about you. It's only because of God that I can even say that and mean it. And so we get this agape love that never fails. Here's how I reconcile it. Love never fails. And if you have experienced the love of God in your life, if you have seen God's unconditional love, if you recognize that you've been kind of out there doing your own thing, and yet God kind of pursued you anyways. And let me tell you right now, He is pursuing you, whether you know it or not, because you're here this morning. You wouldn't be here if He wasn't. It's out of that you can birth this agape love. And through that agape love, even in me, even in you, towards other people, it will never fail. But here's the thing. We're not perfect, right? I mean, maybe a couple of you close, but we're not perfect. And we mess up. Somebody does something that hurts us, and we mess up. Or somebody turns from this agape, unconditional love, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, decision kind of love. And this kind of love isn't like a feeling, I feel good when I'm around you kind of love. It's a, hey man, I'm going to get dirty with you. I'm going to get in the mud with you so I can help pull you out, just like Andy pulled me out of the mud one time in the lake while Ashley and Allison laughed on top of the hill. Safety. It's not love that fails. It's just our natures, who we are. We fail. We do it time and again. There's hurts in our relationships. There's hard times. There's bad decisions. There's fights. There's all that stuff. And it's not love that fails. It's kind of part of who we are. It's this thing that Christians call sin nature, right? Think about this week. I'm not sure I have it all the way figured out, to be perfectly honest. I know God is love. I know God is perfect. I know God is never going to fail me. God is never going to fail you. I get that. But in a world where there's so much failure around the world, around the word love, this is really hard. This is hard to grasp. This is hard to get. But I will tell you this. I think it's true. For whatever it's worth, I think it's true. And I think love does never fail. Love does. Yeah, love never fails. And I know that a lot of you in here have seen it fail time and again. It's failed you. It's failed people close to you. And that hurts so bad. And I think it hurts God. And it probably hurts you. And if you need to talk more about this, you know, come talk to me, talk to one of the staff, talk to your small group leader, talk to Basil, talk to, you know, one of the pastors who preach down here on Sunday mornings, talk to an elder, talk to a parent. Because this stuff is hard, and it's not meant for you guys to go through it alone. It's not meant for me to go through it alone. Because love's not supposed to fail. When it does, it hurts. So if you need to talk through some of this stuff, do it. If you need to work through some of this stuff, work through it. Find somebody who's willing to get in the mud with you. Find somebody willing to enter into the mess. I'll tell you right now, I'm willing to do that. Staff's willing to do that. Elders, pastors are willing to do that. I can speak for all of them. They're willing to get in the mud with you. Get dirty with you. And I'll pull you out of it. Let's close in prayer. Today's a little bit of a kind of a heavy morning. Even the Yumi and Dupree clip was kind of heavy.
Yeah, what was that? Was that all lip piece?
Think about it. let's close in prayer and we'll get going. God, I want to thank you for just this morning, God. And I want to lift up, first of all, God, just all the people in this room who have just seen love fail in their lives, God, whether it be parents splitting or parents leaving them or you know, boyfriend and girlfriend or whatever, God. God, we pray that you would comfort them. God, we pray that you would give them peace. God, we pray that you would show them an abundance of your love that never fails. God, thank you for pursuing us every time we say we don't need you and we do our own thing. God, thank you for buying us back even after we leave you to fulfill our own desires. God, thank you for wanting us so bad that you're willing to walk out on a corner and get us just like Hosea walked out on the corner and bought his prostitute wife. God, thank you for loving us that much and more. God, I also pray that because of your love for us, because of your agape love for us, that we'd be able to love other people like that. No matter who they are, no matter where they've been, no matter what they've done. God, allow us to love them like you love them, like you love us. We God, thank you for close friends who are willing to get dirty with us, who are willing to stick with us, even when it gets tough. God, we pray for this week. We ask that you would bless it. God, I want to ask that you would do something amazing in the lives of each and everyone in here this week, God, and that you would show yourself working in the life and through the life of everyone in here. And God, bring us back safely on Wednesday and next week. And we praise in Jesus' name. Amen.